This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Real quick, before we get into the daily download, Mike, we got a couple of things we need to talk about. You just mentioned this to Rob Bradford, but tell our listeners specifically what you were talking about.
Yeah, look, I get it. You're in the business to basically service the fans, and you've created the battery. And I know at the time when we said they're going to put a ballpark at 75 and 285, I think you and I probably spent weeks saying this is going to be a traffic nightmare.
That was a big shot.
It's going to be unbelievable in a bad way, and it's been nothing but a success. So I want to. We have a lot of friends who work for the Braves. But when you see an announcement from Atlanta Braves Holding, of which I'm a shareholder,
okay,
and they say that they've announced they've purchased Pennant Park Office Complex, six buildings. Now, they don't say how much it cost them, but apparently they're adding more real estate to what they've got at the Battery Complex. Pennant Park is a six-building office complex at the intersection of I-75 and 285 adjacent to the Battery. 763 square feet of office space, 34 acres. So if somebody in the real estate business will tell me specifically where that is that our old building?
It may be.
Yeah,
up
there on the other side. Either
on
way.
On the other side of Windy Hills, are you talking about?
Yeah, and we'll get the specifics on exactly where it is. Adjacent to the Chattahoochee River National Park, Interstate North Circle, over by the Weather Channel.
That is. Yeah, so that's over, it's on the other side.
So the Braves have bought more real estate, and that's great. But I would like more pitching. I would like them to have bought, $150 million in starting pitching so we could compete with the elites of this league. I know when you're not hitting, pitching seems like an abstract concept, and I know that we'll probably get a nasty grant from somebody over there. But to me, Carl, sometimes you wonder between Tony Ressler and Braves Holdings, are we real estate companies or are we in the business of winning championships in this city?
It's valid. I mean, look, when the Braves built Truist and they built around it, we were all a little skeptical. Now we get it, right?
It's been amazing. It's so good that everybody, including college teams, wants one of their own.
So from that standpoint, and look, it helped them create more revenue that they in turn can turn around and hopefully, spend. But the reality is, and I've been told this, Mike, that's not necessarily how it works. Even if they're making money at the Battery, this is about, hey, the Braves, whatever you catch, if you're a fishing reference, you can eat. So if they bring in, if they sell out more games, they go to the playoffs, they are selling more drinks and food at the Battery,
right.
Yes, they can and then, invest more into the team. But I don't know how this plays into that.
Is it simply buying parking lots?
I don't know.
Are they just buying real estate for parking lots? I don't know. At the end of the day, if this improves the quality of the product on the field, because as we said a million times, before they were talking about paying down debt, the average fan doesn't give a crap.
No.
They expect you
to want to win.
They expect you to spend. Yes, the fans expect you to spend like a drunken sailor. I understand there's going to be some fiscal responsibility, and I know not everyone can be the Mets and the Dodgers, but, I mean, this is still a team which is making money, and they're selling out at home. And again, God bless them if at the end of the day makes more money for the ball club. But still, as a fan, I want to see tangible things on the field, pieces that are missing that you didn't invest in the offseason.
Yeah, it's valid. It's interesting. Mike and I were talking about it. You posed that question to our guest, and I was curious to.
And Rob's old school from Boston, covers Major League Baseball. Rob Bradford,
he knows. He knows. I just think, Braves fans, there's going to be a lot of distractions as we move through this losing right now and until we get back on the right track. And listen, we got to win seven to get back to 500. I mean, that doesn't happen overnight.
See, this is the thing that people are saying, look, we'll be okay. And I kept saying, yes, 2021. you got off to a terrible start. You lost Ronald Acuna early in the season. Some knucklehead on the radio, I don't know who he was, Carl, said fire sale.
I heard his voice.
But, you know, you get to a point where you dig such a hole that you stop playing for the division. Now, we have no idea. Are the Marlins going to be clutch all season? Is Philly going to, you know, flex their muscle? Are the Mets going to get healthy? The Mets are already talking about Alcantara. We just talked about him with the Marlins.
That's a player the Braves should be looking at.
Well,
they will, Mike. People think he's automatically going to be on the block like when the trade deadline happens. And if he is, he will be the number one pitcher that teams are trying to get. The Braves should be in that conversation. And, again, we talked about this yesterday. We got to get to Daily Download. But the Braves will have additional money. So it's not as if there will be excuses for Alex Anthopoulos if Alcantara becomes available. All right, we're live at Buffalo's Cafe, guys. Back in the studio, Big O is our engineer. Obviously, Turtle is executive producing. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Fire sale it. Fire sale.
I never said that.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail.
All the stories you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports in bite size.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Story number one.
Coming out of the NFL annual meetings yesterday, Raheem Moore is talking about a few different things. I want you to hear this one. We didn't talk about this yesterday, Mike, but one of the things he said as he was being interviewed by the national reporters, and we're going to let you guys hear from our buddy Steve Weiss from NFL Network, who sat down with Arthur Blank later in the show. But Raheem Morris was talking about never having enough edge last year.
Right.
Listen to this.
I think you can't have enough edge. You know, I think that's got to be something that you're always constantly doing. It's different, you know, probably a different position than you're talking about the quarterback when you only play one. You know, when you're talking about on the edge, you play a bunch of different people. You got a chance to roll those guys around. You can make the movement that you have to make necessary to go out there and try to win matchups. And I think you want to continue to add those guys as much as you can.
All right, so is he telling us that is our investment with the first overall pick, with our pick at 15, that he's saying you can never have enough edge? Okay, if that's the case, then that's where we're going, right?
Well, I mean, you do have guys which nobody's seen yet. Braylon Trice, that's just a name that you may or may not remember from how good he looked in preseason, but Trice will be there. You know, Dorlas, we haven't really seen him much. Rook Arororo was on IR for half the season, only played 8 games. So some of these guys, I think they believe, are in the building. Some of this could be a smokescreen. Some of this could – we may still go corner. Hell, man, we could go offensive tackle after all the guys they've been looking at. And you still – I know you and I have debated.
But is that going to disappoint Falcons fans?
Yes, but you know what would be more disappointing? Here's the thing, though. Time out. Wait, hey, hold on, brah.
If we go offensive line, aren't you going to be disappointed?
Right. Let me ask you this. Second part to the question. Won't you be more disappointed if Michael Penix Jr. is a greasy spot in the center of Mercedes-Benz looking at the roof because the right tackle, who's now the blind side, isn't good enough? See, that's something nobody's talking about. You know, we got Caleb McGarry, who's good going forward, not so good when he goes beep, beep, beep. So that may be something they're thinking about.
He's not Kirk Cousins. He can move.
Not that much.
He's not a guy that's going to be in the pocket and can't move.
I don't know.
If they don't go edge, the coach is
What if it was your child? What if it was your son and McGarry's protecting his blind side?
The coach is admitting we didn't have enough edge. Meanwhile, he also said, Raheem Morris, talking about who's going to be our center. You're worried about the O-line? Who's going to be our center, coach?
It was 8 games that he was able to go out there and really be competitive and play at a high level. Uh-huh. To be able to go watch him and get the confidence that way, feel really good about what Nuzu can do. Even before that, watching him in practice, doing some of the things he was able to do, watching the continuity between him and Mike just throughout the season with those guys being, the twos at certain points of the season and the ones at certain parts of the season. I feel really good about those guys, but definitely trying to make it a competitive stage at all walks of life when you talk about competitive positions.
He's talking about Ryan Neuzel, guys. He is going to be center number one. He's talking about they had 8 games to look at him. So center, we now know, Drew Dahlman, gone. Neuzel's in. Offensive line.
I like Neuzel, by the way.
I do, too.
As you said, how you know he's good? We never talked about him.
No, I think we're fine there. But this edge thing, like, you can never have enough edge. You can't say that and then don't draft edge.
Well, the latest mock draft from NFL Network has us taking, I know it was ESPN this morning, Michael Green from Marshall, who made all the news by just, you know, smacking around the guy from Oregon down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile.
Yeah.
So, look, that's a guy. I've seen mock drafts where all the Georgia guys that we want are gone by the time we select, and somewhere there's still some around. So it really comes down to the evaluation. How does, unfortunately, a scouting staff, which has taken some big risks on guys that haven't paid off. Now, they got the Bergeron thing right on offensive line. They got Troy Anderson wrong. Ebikadi's been solid, Carl, but he hasn't really popped into that elite level. Although this is a contract year. Maybe he'll be extra super motivated. But it doesn't help him unless there's somebody opposite him. This year he's going to have a guy who's pretty good, you know, edge rush.
No doubt about it. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, it is our Daily Download, guys. We broadcast live from Buffalo's Cafe here in Cumming. Daily Download's brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. We got a lot to get to in the NFL. Fourth and one's on the way in less than 10 minutes, so stay right there.
What'd you make of the friggin' Hawks?
It was terrible. I just thought the effort was not there last night. Trey had another great game, right? But, Mike, these are the games you have to win. And, you know, I said it. The Trailblazers aren't going anywhere. Matter of fact, this is the second time they've beaten us. They beat us on the road earlier in the season. We went out west, didn't show up, right? Jalen Johnson played in that game. Like, you had your full assessment of players. Now you've been banged up, injured, trades have gone down. You come back home, you beat Milwaukee handily, and then you come back home and don't do anything.
You put 140 plus on the Bucks. This is a game that was really, I thought, lost in the second half.
It was.
They came out and Portland made some plays, and they ran some stuff that we just couldn't adjust to. Perimeter defense struggled. We shot abysmally from three-point range. How bad? 7 for 32. We've had a couple of real clunkers from the arc. Like, everybody in the NBA is throwing 30 plus. We're actually on the low end right now when you consider what the Celtics do on a nightly basis. We shot 21.9 from three. The bench was mediocre at best. Veet was your leading scorer with 13 off the pine. So, unfortunately, this is the game. And we spent like about 20 minutes on this last night before the show ended. About, do you buy into the Hawks when we just get this close to being above 500, then we take two steps back?
Yeah, and last night, you know, again, I know they're in the Western Conference, but all these games add up when you talk about your overall record. You now own the tiebreaker against Milwaukee, so if Milwaukee and the Hawks finished same record, you could be the sixth seed. So that's why this matters, and you let that one slip away. I want you to hear Dyson Daniels, by the way. He stopped by TNT. It was nice. TNT giving him some love, okay?
Right on.
He stopped by TNT and was talking to the guys.
A rare national moment for us,
well,
right?
Well, we don't get enough of this stuff, but Dyson was asked about, you know, players not wanting him to defend him. He's averaging three, almost four steals a game, leading the league.
Yeah, I mean, I've really started to see it this year. I think it's become kind of my go-to, my prowl is on the defensive end of the floor. But ever since I was a junior, you know, playing back in Australia, it's been my instinct, you know, being a step ahead, being able to read the ball, know where it's going, and be in the passing lanes. And you know, for me, I like to bait people into things. You know, I think that's a big thing. You know, is using your eyes. You know, pretend you're not looking. You know, playing off someone, and then you know having that quick first step where I can attack the passing lanes and stuff like that. So it's all about baiting my defender, and you know, just trying to get that edge on them.
More and more people are becoming familiar with Dyson Daniels. Those kinds of appearances on TNT. They help. Again, we're pushing for him to be the defensive player of the year. It's an uphill battle simply because, to Mike's point, and Mike Conte said it the other day, have we been on national TV enough, Mike, for folks to say, man, this Dyson Daniels dude.
No, unless we get to play in and we're playing, you know, against the Celtics or Cavs in that two versus seven. So we have Plunder from Down Under. That's mine. We have the Great Barrier Thief.
That's the one everybody uses.
Well, what's wrong with Plunder from Down Under?
Nothing.
You know what? Now you're being dismissive of my creativity.
It isn't, but the Great Barrier Thief is like, that is really good.
How about this? That's not a steal. This is a steal.